We're going to be in some different Bible passages today, so you might want to just take your bulletin, flip it over on that blank page on the back, and write down some of the things we're going to be talking about. Jose, I'll turn my mic on, please.
Because I think that'll be helpful to you as we progress today. Let me introduce to you what we're going to do today by this statement. We live in a culture, this is no surprise, we live in a culture of instant gratification. Here's some examples that just illustrate that. Our streaming services are delivered in seconds to our entertainment choices of something we want to watch. Amazon delivers our packages the next day. I read a couple of weeks ago in some cities around the states, they actually will promise to deliver your packages within 2 hours. Google, or I guess now AI, you can ask any question you want and you get an answer instantly. We can send a text or an email and get a response within a few seconds or a few minutes. And if you don't get it in a few minutes, you wonder what's happened to the person. Our commute to work, or if we go on a trip or vacation, it is kept as wait-free as possible because we have apps that route us and reroute us according to the traffic patterns. And so life has sped up considerably in our lifetimes, hasn't it? Some of you younger ones don't realize that, but for some of us older ones, we realize, wow, it is so much faster than it ever was in our growing up years. And you've heard me say before, one of the reasons I like going to the beach is just to sit before the vast ocean with the wind blowing in my face, and it enables me to slow down and just take it in. And in fact, it starts before I even get to the beach. As soon as we cross the bridge across the intercoastal, for our family, the windows go down, and just smelling the salt air, the ocean air, I already feel a sense of calmness and peace coming over me. That's for me. It doesn't have to be for you. But one of the things this increase of instant gratification does is it produces within us or increases within us our dislike for having to wait. And basically to wait about anything. It doesn't make any difference what it is, but to wait about anything, we don't like it. And, you know, even if we have to wait, what can we do? Pull out the phone, you've got instant whatever you need while you wait. So again, we have instant access to whatever. And so in light of that, in light of this dislike and the way our culture operates in that regards, what happens is this: waiting is basically seen as a foe to eliminate instead of a virtue to cultivate. Think about that statement. We view waiting as something to get rid of, instead of maybe as something from the Lord that we're supposed to cultivate in our lives. And because waiting is often viewed as an enemy of sorts, it can lead to some negative attitudes within us. It can lead to some harmful responses from us when our expected timetable, however long it is of that particular situation, whenever our expected timetable goes longer than we think it should. And so if you think about it this morning, everyone in here this morning is waiting on something. Is waiting on something. In one way or another, you're waiting in some capacity. Yes, the range can be over trivial things. But you're waiting maybe something that's really heart-wrenching. But if I could go around the room probably and for each one of you name something that in some way you're waiting. And there would be all kinds of categories and all kinds of examples of that waiting. But everyone waits. And so here's the critical question we're going to be thinking about in this little series we're going to be doing. And that is, in regards to waiting, do I do it well? You're going to wait. Do you do it well? Or if I could say it another way, do I waste the waiting God has brought into my life for a specific purpose? In other words, in my dislike for waiting, do I miss what God wants to cultivate in me in this divinely sent waiting period? Because from God's point of view, waiting can be, and really is, a significant thing in our lives in relationship to Him. So again, the question is, do you wait well? Do you wait well? So how can we learn to do this? Because the question is, I think I've got one other little quote up here. The question is not if you wait, but how I wait. And so what we want to look at in this little series is, how can we learn to wait well? How can we wait on God in a way that leads to a true peace within us? A peace deep down inside, where we don't try to force the situation, where we don't try to manipulate the person so we get the solution that we want. How do we learn to wait on the Lord so that He's able to do a transforming thing in our souls? How do we learn to wait on the Lord that leads us to a deeper calm and rest in the Lord? How do we learn to wait on the Lord so that growth takes place and He's able to develop a deeper trust and reliance upon Him in that time while we're waiting on Him? So again, just to emphasize the point, most people dislike waiting. I don't think I've ever heard anybody celebrate it. Oh God, I get to wait again. I've never heard anybody say that, at least in a serious way. We say it sometimes in a sarcastic way, but to say it in a serious way, don't think I've ever heard that. And again, our society makes this so difficult because they keep providing all these kind of ways where we don't have to wait. Let me give you a couple of more examples. The last one's going to really surprise you, probably. Families go to adventure parks. What do? You buy a fast pass. Why? So that you don't have to wait in the long lines for the rides. We do the same thing going to Charlotte. We buy a fast pass. So you can go through there. Hey, I did it a couple of weeks ago going on vacation. Love seeing those people stop and go traffic, and I'm zipping through in the fast pass lane. We have early voting. Why? So we don't, at least one reason, so we have to stand in long lines when we vote. Never happens in my voting place anyway, though. But here's the one that's going to surprise you. I doubt any of you have ever heard of this. I read about how airports have started moving the baggage claim area farther away because people are willing to wait longer. Even the baggage, walk farther than wait longer at a carousel with no baggage coming through. So they're starting to make it so people wait longer so the baggage will be there when they get there. That's how we don't like to wait. Even factors in things like, some of you are going to start counting your steps or counting the distance next time you go to the airport, aren't you? But the bottom line is, we don't like waiting. I mean, how many seconds do you watch that little wheel spin when you're trying to load a video or something on a website before you click and go somewhere else? I do that. We don't like waiting. Efficiency and immediacy are hallmarks in our society, and waiting just isn't valued by our culture. And so, this dislike and this fight against waiting, one of the things is it's important to recognize that about ourselves. It's important to understand that about ourselves. We need to start with this recognition that I don't like to wait and I react against waiting. We need to understand this about ourselves as it relates to the spiritual value that God wants to cultivate in us during that time of waiting. And so what you're going to see in this series is this. Biblically, waiting is commended as something valuable and good. Valuable and good. Just let that sink in. What else it says, the Bible says, is this. It actually commands waiting. Let that sink in. And so what we come up with is the Bible commends and commands something that so often we view as negative and we do everything in our power to try to avoid. And yet the Bible commends it and commands periods of waiting that God brings into our lives. And you find that, you start reading your Bible, you will find that truth found, you will find that truth talked about, or you'll find pictures of it in people's lives all through the Bible. Start to finish. I don't know if you realize how often the Bible talks about waiting or pictures it in some way. Or let me try this. Have you ever had someone come to you and they talked about a particular color of car or a make of car? And then from that day on, as you start driving, you can't believe how many times you see that color of car or that make of car. Why? Because now your mind's tuned into it to look for it. So I would just encourage you, as you are reading your Bible, look for those times when the Bible is addressing the subject of waiting. Maybe it actually has the word wait in it. Maybe it's just someone that's having to wait for whatever reason. Sometimes people do it well. Sometimes people don't do it well. But you will find it from start to finish in the Bible, where God is picturing, talking about, declaring this important truth about waiting before Him. It's there. So God is wanting to do a work in us, to transform us, so that those times that are confusing and uncertain, or maybe painful, or unsettling or frustrating, God wants to redeem those times and do a unique work within us, granting us a deeper peace with Him, granting us a deeper trust in His care for us, a deeper work within us, maybe a deeper work through us to someone else. But overall, He wants to use our periods of waiting to bring us into a deeper experience with Him. So we may not like it, waiting, and I get it, but from God's perspective, waiting is good. Waiting is good. So, let me kind of address it in a different way. Life is going to be full of gaps. And what I mean by that is this. Moments or seasons where we are, by God's design and plan, invited to wait. Where we don't have an answer, where we don't have a solution yet, thus the gap. Or let me say it this way. This is another way to picture it. A gap is that time between offered prayer and answered prayer. And that's where many of us are right now, isn't it? Offered prayer and answered prayer. And so there's this gap. We've lifted up a specific prayer. We've lifted up a specific cry, a specific need to the Lord. And He hasn't responded. He hasn't answered. He hasn't provided a solution yet. And so we're in that land between offered prayer and answered prayer. And there's that gap is what I'm calling it. That time period, and we're waiting on Him to answer. We're waiting on Him for guidance. We're waiting on Him for a solution. We're waiting on Him for the rescue of a relationship, the rescue of one of our prodigals that we're praying. We're waiting on Him. We've offered the prayer. We've offered the prayer many times, but the full answer, at least, has not come yet. There's that gap. And brethren, sometimes that gap may be this long between offered prayer and answered prayer. Sometimes it may be this long. Sometimes it may even last a lifetime between offered prayer and answered prayer. And if we're not careful during those times, if we're not tuned in and yielded to the Holy Spirit, then we can respond in some very unhelpful ways. We can respond in some harmful ways to us and to us spiritually. And so we need to be tuned into that. And I'm sure many of us could testify how in a time of waiting, I didn't respond the best way I should have. I didn't respond in the way probably the Lord wanted me to respond. And so during those times of waiting, when you don't have the answer, you don't have the solution, you don't know what to do next, during those times of waiting, it is going to be essential that we fill those gaps with what we know to be true about the Lord. You may not know what's true, what's going on in your life, but we do know some things that are true about the Lord. And so we need to fill those gaps with what we know is true about our God while we're in the midst of waiting on Him to answer, to bring the solution or whatever it happens to be. So just remember, in our times of waiting, God has a specific purpose and plan. He's wanting to use that time to accomplish in our lives. He's at work, even when it doesn't seem like He is. I stumbled across this little quote from Chuck Swindoll. Chuck Swindoll, I think, is about 90 today, or this in this year. But Chuck Swindoll at some point said this: God's silence is in no way indicative of His activity or involvement in our lives. He may be silent, but He is not still. That is so true. That is so true. And sometimes we think He's not doing anything, but His silence is in no way indicative of His activity or involvement in our lives. He may be silent, but He is not still. So waiting. I wonder if anyone here views that as a strength in your life. You probably don't want to raise your hand because then the Lord's going to test you even more on that. So in this series, what I want to do, I want to share with you several principles or truths throughout this series about waiting. And so here's truth number one, and it's an obvious one. I get that. But sometimes we need to be reminded of the obvious, don't we? Because we get involved in things and we forget about the obvious. So this is not going to be anything earth-shattering. It's obvious. But still, it's important for us to recognize. So here's truth number one for us today. Waiting's hard. Told you it was obvious. Waiting is hard. And yes, there's different kinds of situations that determine the hardness of it. But no matter what it is, it's still hard. It can be hard, right? It can be hard. And some of you want to stand up and say, no, not can be. It is hard. It is hard. And we've all experienced some time like that when it was just hard. And I get it. We respond differently to the hardness of it. We feel the hardness of it differently. But the bottom line is, waiting still is hard at times. So maybe you will be able to identify with something David wrote in the Psalms. Psalm chapter 69, verse 3, David said, "I am weary with my crying out." Sorry, there it is. "I am weary with my crying out. My throat is parched. My eyes grow dim with waiting for my God." The New Living Translation puts it this way: "I am exhausted from crying out for help. My throat is parched. My eyes are swollen with weeping, waiting for my God to help me." And maybe there's someone this morning say, I know that verse. Or I'm in the middle of that verse right now. I understand what David is saying. It's not uncommon, is it, to feel that way? One of the things that can make waiting worse is we consciously, unconsciously, we seem to have this built-in internal sense of how long things should be required to wait on. And you know, that applies to trivial things like how long I should have to wait in a drive-thru, all the way to the more spiritual, serious things in our lives. And it even applies to the Lord. Again, there's that kind of internal mechanism that we feel that this is, you know, this is how long I should have to wait before God provides the answer and gives the solution. I think you see that if you read through the book of Job. It just kind of progressed and built in Job's mind as this thing just stretched out longer than he thought it should have. Abraham and Sarah thought they'd waited long enough, didn't they? And so it's something common. Where Abraham and Sarah, Job, were not unique. We can battle it too. That internal sense of how long something should take. And here's the issue. Many times at the beginning, we can respond pretty decently in our waiting. But when it crosses that point, that internal sense mechanism, when it crosses on the other side of that, it can become a real struggle. And sometimes we don't exactly respond in the ways the Lord wants us to respond. And so, waiting's hard. And the importance, therefore, of us learning how to do it well. This next little quote from Betsy Howard, I'm going to read it twice because I really want you to catch what it says. It's a little funny-ish, maybe, but follow what it says. She wrote, "We should learn to want to learn how to wait well so that we can go on waiting well, because we will always be waiting for something in this life." You follow that? We should want to learn how to wait well so that we can go on waiting well, because we will always be waiting on something in this life. In other words, what she's saying is we never graduate from the school of waiting. Aren't you glad you heard that this morning? All right. Let me pause and just give you a little preliminary definition of waiting in the Bible, how it's used. If you start looking up in the Old Testament, you look up the word wait, and there are numerous different words that are used. I think 19 or 20 different Hebrew words that are used for the word wait or waiting. But and we'll look at some of the nuances of those in the coming weeks. But the common thread between all of those 19, however many words there are, the common thread, according to the theological word book of the Old Testament, the common thread is this: waiting is looking for something or someone with eager expectation. Looking for someone or something with eager expectation. That's the common thread between all the words. Some of you, if you've been here a little while, you may remember when we studied that very familiar verse, Isaiah 40, 30, 31. And what does it say to begin with? "Yet those who wait for the Lord." And so when we were studying that, we looked up that specific word and concluded, I shared with you, that word was really could be defined as a sure expectancy. And so I began to read that verse for you this way: "Yet those with a sure expectancy look to the Lord." So waiting is a space to be filled with who God is, truths about God, so that this gap emerges, and we look for something to fill it. The Bible says God wants to fill it with Himself, with His presence, with His peace, with His promises. He wants to fill it with Himself. And so, again, during those times of waiting, it is essential that we fill those gaps of life with what we know to be true about our God, and to wait on Him, or to look to Him with a sure expectancy that He's my shepherd. He's got a plan and a purpose related to this particular season of wait in my life. And let me also, I told you to start looking for, when you read your Bible, looking for when you see pictures or statements about waiting. Here's something else I want you to do as you read your Bibles. When you find the word wait, look to what it's pointing to. Look to what it's pointing. Let's go back to this verse. "Yet those who wait," what? "On the Lord." I'm not just sitting around waiting, trying to drum up patience. I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm taking Him and what I know about Him and putting it into this season of wait. Says it again in Psalm 41. I waited patiently where? For who? For the Lord. I'm looking to Him for what He's wanting to do. Here's another verse in the Old Testament, Psalm 130, verse 5. I wait for the Lord. My soul does wait, and in His Word do I hope. So I'm filling it with truth about God. I'm filling this time of waiting with truths from His Word. It's not just I'm leaving an empty space. In the New Testament, a lot of times you see it connected to an action or something that God's going to be doing. Here's some examples of that. Romans 8, 23. We wait eagerly for what? Our adoption as sons. Titus 2, 13. We're waiting for what? Our blessed hope, which was our year verse a couple of years back. 2 Peter 3, 12. Waiting for and hastening what? The coming of the day of God. So biblically, waiting is connected to something we're looking for that God has promised, or something about God Himself that we've come to understand. And so we're filling that gap with those kinds of truths that leads to a deeper trust and rest in the Lord in the midst of that gap where things maybe be very uncertain in your life. Andrew Murray wrote a book on this subject in the 1800s. He divided it into 31 chapters, each devotional on the subject of waiting. His book is entitled Waiting on God. That may be the next thing for those of you to come on Wednesday night. That may be the next thing we share together. But here's just a summary of the message of the overall theme of that book. He writes, "This is the blessedness of waiting upon God, that it takes our eyes and our thoughts away from ourselves, even our needs and desires, and occupies us with our God." See, I'm focusing on what I know to be true about my God when I don't know what's happening in my life. And that's really what I want to talk to us about in this series. Waiting on God is living on what I know to be true about Him when I don't know what's true about my life or what's happening in my life or in a particular situation or in a particular person in my life. I'm going to focus on what I know to be true about the Lord. I'm going to live on what I know to be true of Him. So when we're called to wait, God wants to use that as an opportunity to take us deeper with Him. And you say, well, duh, that's obvious. Of course, that's what He wants to do. But again, sometimes we're in the midst of something, we forget about the obvious. So, let me say it again. Waiting involves living on what I know to be true about God when I don't know what's true about my life. And the first step, I got to even shorten it a little bit. The first step is learning to wait. And learning to wait is learning to live on what I know rather than what I don't know. And do you realize many times we reverse that? We get focused only on what I don't know. And it starts tearing us up in here instead of focusing on what I do know and taking what I don't know to the One who does know. First step in learning to wait is learning to live on what you know, not on what you don't know. And can I just say one thing as a close? Clear up maybe a misconception that some of us might have. I think sometimes it's easy to think that if I just respond correctly, the waiting will end, right? Lord, look at how I've been trusting You. I've been showing patience. I'm trusting You. I'm not questioning You. I've passed the test. And therefore, you can provide the solution and solve this thing. Yeah, sometimes that may happen. That's when those gaps are that big. But sometimes it doesn't, because God has something better. Sometimes, as I said earlier, that waiting can last a lifetime. So can I say it this way? Rather than ending our waiting or ending it too soon, God wants to bless our waiting. God wants to bless that season of waiting that we're in. So I'm looking forward to sharing this with you, because I said everybody in this room this morning is waiting in some capacity on something. Maybe it's not that serious with you. Maybe it's something very serious. And the Bible has a lot to teach us about this very important subject that's so common to human life. So there is a song. This is not the song we're going to close with. There's a song I love listening to sometimes when I'm driving by myself. I know this is not fashionable anymore. I've got an old iPod that has the songs on it that I want to listen to. And so sometimes I will put this song on and I will listen to it for the whole journey, just over and over and over again. I'm weird in that way, but I get focused on one song sometimes. And I haven't been able to work it so we could teach it to you and sing it here. It's still one of my dreams. Philip's messing things up by leaving. But anyway, one of the lines in this song, it's a Michael W. Smith song. Some of you may have heard it. It's called Sovereign Over Us. But one of the lines goes like this: You are working in our waiting. You are sanctifying us. When beyond our understanding, you're teaching us to trust. Here's what we know about God. Your plans are still to prosper. You have not forgotten us or me. You're with me in the fire and the flood. You're faithful forever, perfect in love. You are sovereign over me. But He's working in our waiting. And one of the things He's working to do is to sanctify us even more. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we recognize this is a common battle characteristic in human life from the very beginning of Bible days to the end of time. We recognize, particularly in where our society is right now, that our society works so hard so that we don't have to wait on anything, even the most trivial things. And so there is a great dislike in our hearts about waiting. We fight against it. We try to overcome it. And yet, Lord, may You continue to show us that in Your sight, because of Your plans and purposes for us, waiting on You is something valuable and good. And it's not just about You providing a solution for us, an answer for us. It's about the work that You want to do us in that time of gap between the offered prayer and the truly final answer to that prayer. So I just pray over us today. There's some here who have more serious things they're waiting for You for. And so I just pray, Father, You would encourage them today, that You are at work in their waiting. You are sanctifying them. You are wanting to teach them more about who You are and how dependable You are and the peace You can do and what You want to do in them, even beyond them. Encourage them. And I pray You would use this series to really speak to us so that maybe what's a weakness, not waiting well, will be turned into a stronger thing in our lives as we wait upon You in what You want to accomplish in our lives. For I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.